He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points. And today in the show, you control it. It's a Sunday. We're back to our usual, Monday. Well, it runs on a Monday in podcast form. But we record these mailbag episodes on Sundays. And now that I'm back from vacation and fully acclimated back here and back here at home, we are right back to our usual schedule. So today we are going to be diving into everything that you guys want to talk about. And I asked Twitter for some questions. There's still plenty of room in the mailbag if you guys have any questions and you guys are watching live. So if you're on YouTube, hit me with the YouTube comment while we're live here, and I'll answer questions as best as I can while I see them. And then I checked the iTunes mailbag. It was empty. So that's, as a reminder, if you guys want your topic covered here on the show, the best way to get it on the show is to leave it in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes. So, we're going to go ahead and dive on in and, see where the mailbag kind of takes us. Quick reminder. If you guys are watching live right now, hit that like button. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. And whether you're watching on YouTube or watching on Twitter, hit that subscribe button. Whether it's on Twitter, you can follow me at Anthony Irwin LA, or on YouTube, which is again, youtube.com/@LakersLounge, to find the show there. And then if you guys are listening in the morning to the show via podcast, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that 5-star review button and help the show out that way. The best way that you can help out the show, if you guys are ever interested in so doing, is to tell your friends about it. If you have other Lakers fan friends, you could say, hey, I've been listening to this Lakers pod. If like in your friend group, out of nowhere, and I used to do this. I would have, back before I started doing this, I would have other Lakers fan friends and we'd have a group text and we would like compete for who would get what news into the group text first. So we could all talk about it amongst ourselves that way. And if your friend group just starts to notice, wow, you're way ahead of a lot of this stuff, what's going on? You could just tell them, listen to the show. This guy's a bit of a doofus, but he seems to know some stuff every so often. And you could tell him youtube.com/@LakersLounge or Lakers Lounge, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in. And again, I'm starting with Twitter here because iTunes, that was empty, and I'm waiting for some comments to kind of pile up here on the YouTube stream. So starting with Twitter, let's dive on into the iTunes mailbag. All right. So backstory on some of these questions. I asked for questions today at 10:04 a.m. And I had a few questions here about the, basically it's an extension of the conversation from Friday. So, first one here, at 2 weeks with pay, do you ever feel duped by the Lakers when they say they're working on trades that seem to never materialize, or is your BS meter always on high alert with this regime? Another one here, I don't know where it is. I had a couple other questions here, basically asking what it's like, kind of asking for a bit of a method behind the madness, and it is madness, type of explanation for how this goes. So I'm not going to get too far into the weeds because you know, talking about journalism isn't the most popular kind of topic out there. Unless I'm talking this, I've had a lot of positive feedback about the conversation I had with Pete. And if you guys like that one, you guys will like not this next episode of the Great Western Forum, but the one, two episodes from now, when we'll dive even further into that and actually get some different input from different kind of voices, from around, MBA journalism and coverage and stuff like that. But you know, we'll start with that question in particular. Do you ever feel duped by the Lakers when they say they are working on trades that seem to never materialize? So here's the thing. The way that teams kind of handle conversations about players is they are pretty constantly in contact with each other. Whether it's about a single player, whether it's about what's going on with that team, whether it's about what that team is maybe hearing about what other teams are maybe trying to do. The intel, the circulation of news and intel in the NBA, it never stops. Even as we head into later into August and then into September, when you know, you're reaching kind of a dead period where most teams, you know, give the go ahead to people to go on their vacations. Even then, there's texts and emails and phone calls or meetups and stuff like that. People bump into each other and stuff because these really, really rich people like the same types of vacation spots. And there's just this constant information flow between teams about players and situations and trade scenarios, etc. There's even more conversations within organizations about teams and players and trade scenarios and outlooks and all of that stuff, whether it's about their own players or other players that they might be interested in. The way that, you know, the Lakers kind of, or most teams map out or they handle their scouting is they'll tell somebody, all right, you're our West Coast region scout, you're our mountain, you know, Midwest, you know, scout, East Coast scout, Northeast scout, European scout, African, you know, yeah, African scout, Asian scout, like all of these, you know, Chinese scout, Japanese scout, like all of these countries and regions and stuff like that. Most teams basically employ people and they tell them, hey, you're going to be focused on this thing here. And we want you to be as informed, not just about every player there, but about every situation that might unfold beginning there. Right. And, now the Lakers, obviously they don't have as robust a scouting department, especially in the professional ranks. But there are certainly a lot of people around there, around the organization who monitor things and there's constant communication, about all these things. Like one of the things that kind of blew me away, and has blown me away as my career has kind of, progressed and you guys can probably relate to this too. The longer you spend in companies or the higher you rise in companies, the more your time is devoted to just meetings and emails and phone calls and catch ups. And, you know, you become, it almost feels like less productive the higher you rise in these companies, because you spend so much time talking to people about being productive or ways to be productive. And essentially, like, you know, when somebody asks, do you ever feel like you're duped? No, because I think one thing that we should probably get a lot better at is understanding the meanings of words or you know, it's called media literacy is kind of like the big term devoted to this kind of practice. But when I say, like, yeah, I'm hearing the Lakers are trying to do X. I always try to, you know, I always include that term try. They are trying to do, they are attempting to do this. And I've said this in the past, but I like to talk about developments as I hear them. Because to me, it kind of, it allows us to outline the process. It allows us to, you know, you guys to track the process, what went into whatever thing that the Lakers eventually did or didn't do, right? And, you know, that article that I just narrated for, I think it was Friday or whenever it was, where it's like a look back at the offseason in its entirety, you know, because of my reporting on things as they were happening, that article becomes really easy to write because, yeah, it's a lot of information, but it's a lot of these things that are always fresh in my mind. And every day, you know, you have a group of people that you catch up with and you ask like, hey, how's it going with, you know, if they have a better understanding of various stories or angles and stuff like that, you kind of reach out, you ask like, hey, how are you hearing things are going with Portland and the conversations that Rob is having with Joe out there? How are the conversations going with so-and-so and those conversations that Rob is trying to have there? And I maybe at some point in my career, I might move to, you know, talk about things when they are closer. But to me, I just think it's worthwhile to give you guys information on what the Lakers are trying to do as they're trying to do that stuff. And it's funny because inherently teams try to do a lot more things than they actually do. So when you ask like if I ever feel duped, no, because like the only time I felt duped this year was by Brooke Lopez's camp when it was becoming clearer and clearer that or at least in terms of the conversations I was having, it was becoming clearer and clearer that Brooke Lopez was going to, it was thought that that Brooke Lopez was going to the Lakers. And as it turns out, the Lakers saw Brooke Lopez as a taxpayer mid-level exception player, which was about five and some change, right? $1 million. And Brooke Lopez wanted more than that. And there were other teams, obviously, that Brooke Lopez was talking to. And as we were getting closer and closer and closer to free agency, Lopez's camp start pushing Lopez as a potential Laker to try to get some other team to offer more than the mid-level exception because he knew he would already have that lined up if he went to the Lakers. As it turns out, right, Lopez goes to the Clippers and he makes like $9 million, which is almost twice as much as the Lakers were prepared to offer, and it winds up working out for Brooke. Not saying I was lied to, not saying, you know, it was nefarious. It was all an attempt to get Brooke a few more million dollars on what will probably be his last contract, worth more than the minimum, I would imagine, if he doesn't retire after this current contract. And that's just how this ecosystem kind of works. Now, I do wind up going back and asking people like, hey, you know, you could be more upfront on this stuff. And now I'm going to trust some of those people a little bit less because, I now know what they're kind of capable of, but at the end of the day, I have to be a little bit better at my job and have those red flags, thrown a little bit more quickly. Even when the, you know, everything is pointing towards one outcome, it's always possible that you might get another outcome to the story. So it's not even necessarily like I was lied to. It was that I didn't have that story as well as I should have, given how definitively I was talking about that. So, and that's shit that I need to work on, you know, and that's one of the things that I try to give you guys is the transparency of what I'm doing too, so that you guys don't feel duped when I get something wrong. I can try to explain to you how I arrived at the incorrect conclusion or incorrect report and get better at it. And hopefully you guys are along for the ride so that a few years from now, when I'm even better at this, I've only been doing this for a couple of years now. Reporting that is, in a few years from now, when I'm a little bit better and more established as a reporter, somebody that people want to give information to, you guys can look at that. We can all look back on that one time. Brooke Lopez's camp made me think he was going to the Lakers so he could get a few million dollars more from the Clippers. And yeah, it's this entire information industry, and economy really. And managing that is always really interesting, but yeah, I don't really feel duped by the Lakers when I hear that they're trying to do certain things and they don't wind up doing them. It's not that they weren't trying. It's that they weren't able to get that done. And it takes two people to make some of these deals happen. And, you know, whether or not you're able to convince that other side to say yes or not, that's what a lot of this kind of comes down to. And if the Lakers don't do some of the things that I say that they're getting ready to do or they're trying to do or whatever like that. If they don't do those things, it's because talks fell apart. Another team wanted something. The Lakers didn't want to give. They didn't want to cross a certain line in negotiations, whatever it is. And it just didn't pan out. And that's how it kind of goes sometimes, more often than not, honestly. All right. We have a question here from at Bashir_1. And the reason I'm answering this now ahead of or kind of changing up the order here is because there's proof here that he is subscribed to the show. So Bashir writes, your thoughts on the Lakers' fright of employing injury prone players and that fright stopping them from employing half the league. It's all about risk management, right? There are some players that you're willing to look the other way on injury stuff because the potential value is there. If Joel Embiid was on a contract that was like half as expensive as his current contract, everybody around the league would be perfectly happy employing Joel Embiid, even given his injury history. But as Embiid is on one of these massive supermax contracts, and it extends years into the future, and he has that injury concern, nobody's really interested in trading for him or trying to bring him in or employing him. And you know, if I'm trying to find an example here. All right, so Ayton is another example here where he has had some availability issues. And for the Lakers, it's like, yeah, he might have those availability issues. But he also is a player who at one point was seen as a 30-ish million dollar player. Even if it was incorrect in seeing him that way, but now we can get him for eight and some change. Oh, that's funny. And in that case, the Lakers are willing to kind of look the other way on some of those injury concerns. A different Portland Trail Blazers center, Robert Williams, is somebody that the Lakers have been interested in for a long time. But because of his injury concerns, and because the Lakers would have to literally trade something to get him, they aren't interested in sending out anything to bring in Williams, even if he might help if he's ever healthy. So starting point here isn't that the Lakers are completely terrified of anybody who has ever pulled a hammy before. It's just, you know, risk management. Now, are the Lakers more risk averse than other teams? I would probably say so. And I do think that limits their talent pool in a way that can sometimes lead to missed opportunity. One of the examples of that, right, was Cam Whitmore, who came out of college, had some injury concerns, some real injury concerns coming out of college. And the Lakers, you know, there were people who liked him as a talent more than Jalen Hood-Schifino within the organization. But eventually, the concern over Whitmore's medicals led them to drafting Jalen Hood-Schifino, who ironically, you know, obviously got hurt and spent basically his entire Lakers tenure hurt. But it had the Lakers been willing to take a gamble on Whitmore, they would have gotten the better player who was actually productive at a position that they actually had need at. And that hurts them there, right? And one of the things that I'm really excited about whenever Guggenheim and or AEG eventually and officially takes over is that they will spend to bring in the absolute best doctors and trainers and nutritionists and dietitians and, you know, strength and conditioning coaches, like all of that stuff. The Lakers are going to spend top dollar on those kinds of positions. And when you invest resources and immense resources with those kinds of things, it makes you that much more confident in the gambles that you eventually take. Now, does that mean that they will go all out and trade whatever they would have to trade to employ Joel Embiid, given his contract situation and everything I talked about before? Maybe not. That's a risk that nobody seems all that interested in taking right now. So, you know, my thoughts on it is that I would like to see the Lakers invest more into their infrastructure to be able to more confidently make some of those gambles. But until they do, and given how little they invest at it, you know, I can kind of understand why they don't gamble on those things. But you know, the tough thing is if you start kind of looking for reasons to talk your way out of anything, like one of the things that I've kind of learned is I don't think the Lakers are all that confident in basically any decision that they make unless it's like a home run, you know, Rob Pelinka on the press release type of decision. The Lakers are very susceptible to paralysis by analysis. And I don't think, you know, again, unless it's one of those Luka for whatever they gave up to get him type of decisions, you know, the Lakers are very, very careful. And I think if you look for enough reasons not to do certain things, you're going to miss opportunities. And with the way that the Lakers are kind of run, one of the things that I would like to see is, again, more investment into the infrastructure of the organization so that they can more confidently make some of these decisions that don't have to be home run decisions in the moment. And you know, can pay out greater dividends than some of those other, you know, some of the decisions that they make while they're being more conservative. So, you know, it's going like, I cannot, it was funny. Miriam and I talked about it before we even went live, and we were just laughing at the fact that everybody seems to have forgotten that the Lakers were sold at the beginning of the summer. And I just cannot stress how great an impact AEG will eventually have whenever they officially take over, or even while Jeannie is operating as governor, what AEG will be able to do to supplement her and the people working with and for her with greater resources, so that maybe she's better at this job with those greater resources. Maybe Rob will be better at this job with those greater resources.